Breakfast of Ben's Fantasy Sports Podcast. Tim Benz and Jeff Erickson. Jeff from RotoWire, best fantasy website in the business, best fantasy analyst in the business. Jeff, there is smoke on the water, and the water is the Allegheny River. And it's been a problem, but we are continuing to soldier on here in Pittsburgh and play baseball. Good thing for the Pirates, at least of late, coming up against the San Diego Padres. Boy, the Padres. I mean, so many, especially for fantasy owners, so many big ticket items, so few wins, and such inconsistent production.
Yeah, absolutely. Yu Darvish is missing a start because of illness, and he's been kind of spotty. Just the offense, though. I mean, the bottom half of that lineup has really failed to produce all season long. And the top half, too, I mean, has been, you know, mixed. They haven't all been hot at the same time. Manny Machado's had a miserable season. You paid an end of the first round value on him. You certainly haven't gotten that. Juan Soto's had his hot spots, has his cold spots. Tatis missed the start of the season. Obviously, he's been pretty good since coming back, but it's just they haven't put it all together. Jake Cronenworth had a terrible year, and this is after getting a big contract extension, too. You know, they've gotten so little out of the catcher spot, they had to go to Gary Sanchez. He's at least had some power, but no average. You just look at that lineup, and you can see, yeah, it's mind-boggling that they've spent so much money and yet have so many holes in their lineup. Same thing is true with the Mets, that, you know, it should be a mistake-free roster, and it's nowhere close to that.
Mitch Keller's good. I haven't watched any of the game today as we are talking. It's Ortiz pitching today, but even when the Pirates get into their bullpen, which has been spotty lately, to say the least, especially in games where they can't get to Bednar, like you said, the names threaten me for the Padres, but the action in the box doesn't.
Yeah. And so his defense, he's been better than last year. 912 OPS. I mean, it's not world killing, but it's a well above average player. So, you know, he's not really the reason for that. Well over 400 on base. Tatis, you look at him so far, 875. Again, good, not like first pick in the draft good, though. But 15 homers and 14 stolen bases in only 60 games. I really can't complain about him. It's just everybody else that's been a problem. Bogaerts got off to this good start. He struggled recently. He's had two homers since April. That's pretty awful. He's been hurt a little bit here and there. And, you know, he's going to cost them a lot of money for a long time. I mean, this is a really long contract, and he's already 30. This is shaping up to be a pretty massive mistake. I mean, at least they didn't trade talent to get him. He's a free agent, so it's not quite on the Russell Wilson scale of disaster, but it's a disaster.
From a fantasy perspective, Jeff, how much traction did the story from John Morosi about the Rangers being interested in McCutchen get? He also said that Mitch Keller might be in play and suggested the Orioles take a sniff as to whether or not they can get Keller. What do you think about that?
I mean, we'll see. I mean, it seems that we're in suggestion phase and not like hard facts yet. Absolutely, the Pirates should be thinking about trading McCutchen. I'm not so sure I agree with trading Keller. They have this bad habit.
Age, that magic 27-year-old number where they trade all their pitchers, like Gerrit Cole and Musgrove and Jameson Taillon, all these guys at 27. That's like your freedom of release from Pittsburgh, so to speak.
Yeah, and it seems like that's like a suboptimal way to run a franchise. You know,
especially for blossoming arms.
Yeah, it's blown up in their face before, and I understand Keller's backslid a little bit. 334 now. He's got 9 wins. I get it, but I mean, yeah, he's 27, age 27 year. This is his first really, really good year, and he's not expensive. I would have to be blown away to trade him. Because he's not going to be a free agent next year. He's not going to, you know, it's going to be a while. This is who you build around. So you would have to get like an incredible package to trade Keller, and I just don't think that happens.
Jeff Erickson with us from RotoWire. Jeff, if Paul Skeens is drafted by the Pirates number one overall, what will that do in the fantasy world?
Well, I mean, he's odds on favorite to do that. So for the reports I've read, I'm not a college scout, so just take that with the appropriate ton of salt here. But he is a Strasburg level pitching prospect. He'd be that good.
I think he could and probably should be in the rotation next year. There are many that are saying if this was a contending team, he could come on and help them this year. I wouldn't do that if I'm the Pirates, given how much he had a workload at LSU,
right,
especially through the College World Series. It doesn't seem worth it to me from a Pirates point of view unless they prove that they are really in this and they make a push for the pennant late. But then, you know, in the meanwhile, have you kept him up? You're going to restart his arm? You're going to re-incubate him again? What are you going to do? Next year, though, if they draft him number one overall, and it looks like signability wouldn't be close to the problem for him that would be for Dylan Cruz, then I think he should be in the rotation next year, no later than May.
Yeah, I agree with that. But again, let's see what happens once he signs. See how many innings he gets this year. You know, it may take a little longer than people think. But yeah, as long as he's dominating, yeah, move him on up.
You're out west. Did you watch any of the Perfect game last night?
I did not. We had a family thing going on. It's a tricky spot. Domingo Germán was awful in his two previous outings, but he's been decent before that. He's not a good human being. I think that's the part that's tricky to me. It's like, you want to celebrate the accomplishment without celebrating the player sometimes. I really have a hard edge against domestic violence guys. So I'm really not I don't really want to celebrate him, but a heck of an outing. And it's just a perfect capper to just an awful first half of the season for the Oakland A's.
If you're in a perfect game situation, you always want to go through that last of the eighth, top of the ninth, that last frame. You just want to get through that as fast as possible if you're the pitcher. And then they scored three more. And I said, he's not going to get through it. Sure enough, he did.
Yeah. And, you know, defense made some plays behind him, but the A's didn't really even have like one rocket, you know. Maybe the final out might have been the hardest hit ball for, you know, and especially because of the speed of the hitter. That might have been like the biggest threat to that there. But he was only in Yahoo leagues. He's only 35% rostered, and he was like 28% yesterday. He was 30. I think he was 2/3 started in the NFBC's 12 team leagues, like 85% in the 15 team league. So there are tough teams out there that had him on his bench for this perfect game.
Aaron Judge's toe, certainly a storyline continues to be fallout from that. What else is moving the needle for you, Jeff, this week?
Well, prior to last night, the Yankees had scored the lowest number of runs in baseball for the month of June at 67. They obviously busted out of that a bit yesterday, but it just shows how much they miss Aaron Judge. And they're going to be at least another month, maybe 2 months without him. What help can they bring to the table? Who's going to be out there? Again, we talked about inventory being pretty low. There's not a lot of obvious sellers, and there's certainly not a lot of obvious sellers that have the type of player that's a difference maker, too.
Jeff, let's talk some football. DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. Let's start with him. The Browns, the Patriots, those are two teams that are said to be in it. The Carolina Panthers said to be in it as well. I feel like I'm blanking on one. Is there a fourth one? I feel like there's a fourth team.
Well, I think the Chiefs don't have the cap room, but they have they would be the ideal fit. But you know, I always say the cap room is a mirage anyhow. I mean, just look at the Saints. Look at how many times they've been able to dodge the cap by just extending Taysom Hill and turning into a signing bonus. Every team can do that sort of machination. The bill eventually comes due, but I feel like if the Chiefs really wanted to make that work, they would.
How about the Browns?
I don't think they'd go there, but I mean, yeah, I mean, because they traded for Elijah Moore, I don't think they need to, but yeah, that'd be fun. I think the Pats are actually really interesting. And I think that like the Devontae Parker contract yesterday doesn't disqualify Hopkins. In fact, it might make it more likely to happen because this was like a restructuring. This is what I think allows them more room to fit in Hopkins.
I think the Browns thing should still be in play. I know what you're talking about. I read what you did about how high they are on Moore. I wonder if that's a little bit of misdirection in that, okay, we want to be in on Hopkins, but if we don't get him, then don't worry. Elijah Moore is going to be really good. He can always fall back on that. By the way, the Titans was the team I was blanking on.
Yeah, he did visit them already. So, yeah, that's a possibility too. And the thing is,
I'd go to Cleveland if I'm him of those four teams. It was the highest
Cleveland's
potential.
Dangerous. They could be a really good team this year. They had a good offseason. We'll see. I mean, it all does come down to what version of Watson we get this year. He showed so at the very end of the season, he showed some flashes after being truly awful before.
When I saw him against Pittsburgh, his elusiveness and his escapability was unbelievable. I can't remember how many sacks the Steelers had that day. If it was four or five, it felt like it could have been 10. And he kept getting away, you know, keeping plays alive. It was very impressive. But throwing the ball and making the offense move, that's a different story. How about Dalvin Cook?
You know, I there's two parts to that. One, I think I'm more concerned about whose value he tanks by signing with the team with an existing running back than I am about what he does with that new team. But like, I don't think he goes to Miami. Like Miami, you know, they've got three guys. You know, the rookie is the guy that I like the most there, but they have so much pure speed in that backfield already. That would just be another confusing name for the mix. I think, yeah, everybody sees, okay, they have these part timers, but they all can contribute. So, I mean, I think Wilson would really be screwed there if Cook went there, though.
How about fantasy golf, Jeff? How'd your team do this past weekend?
I had Keegan Bradley on my team, so it was pretty good. Pretty good.
All right, Jeff, what can people find at RotoWire this week?
So we got Chris Crawford's imminent arrivals column, and if you've been following along, so many big impact baseball prospects this year. You need to follow that. Nick Whalen's on top of the NBA free agency angle there. Got a good article checking that out. And of course, all sorts of good NFL talk. Check it all out. RotoWire.com/free. Get your free peek behind the paywall. Hopefully you like it. You want to subscribe.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire.